today we have Les Peters from Impact Ministries who's going to be ministering to us and sharing with us today. Many of you guys are aware and know Les. He's not a stranger to you because he lived here in Kamloops for many, many years and ministered in this city. In fact, Les's family, like there's at least a couple of your kids who go to our church here. And Les, many, many years ago, left Kamloops and established a ministry in Tactique, Guatemala, called Impact Ministries, and it has grown tremendously. And it's an honor for our church to get behind that ministry and to support it through prayer and finances. Les, why don't you come forward and share with us today? It's awesome to have you.
What a privilege it is to be here. I'm really grateful for the opportunity. It's kind of strange coming into Kamloops, bumping into people that I haven't seen some for 20 years. There's Cam, your beard is a little bit longer. And board members, Larry and Val, we see you regularly. And of course, my family is here. Dave and Johnny are part of this church. And what's really odd for me is seeing former students who have their kids here. And so there's a few of you as well and some parents. But it's a privilege to be a part here. Thank you, Pastor Matt, for welcoming us here this morning. And Paige, I'm going to give you just a whirlwind workout here to see if you can keep up with me with the PowerPoint. But this morning, I want to just say thank you. And there's no way I can express in the few moments that I have the thanks and the gratitude that the Guatemalan people have for you. And if you want to hear more of a direct thank you, I invite you to come out on Wednesday night. One of our pastors and the former students in our school is going to be sharing, and he'll express thanks to you personally. That's in Southwest Community. I'm getting the ad in here. I'm getting an ad in. Is that all right? Yeah, okay. So we're doing a Friends of Impact Ministries event in Southwest Community. Come and have some dessert and some coffee, and we'd love to share the story and express our thanks to you personally from one of our former students who is now serving as a pastor in Tactique. And thank you as a church for supporting our ministry and the work in Guatemala. It's a part of the world that is mostly forgotten. Forgotten by many. And let's see, here we go. Let's go, Paige. I speak with my hands, so I said, this is not good. If she forwards every time I do this, we're going to be going way too fast. This is my wife and our youngest son, our two oldest sons attend here. Tim was left on our doorstep in a little cardboard box 10 years ago. And we've adopted him, and I know. I have six grandchildren now, and now we have a 10-year-old here, and that means that we're going to get family child tax credit and old age pension at the same time. But this is my wife, Rita, and she's in Tactique, and there we go. This is where we're serving. We're just south of Mexico in the Central Highlands where the Civil War was going on for 36 years. The Civil War left people in just a horrible state. And we see physical poverty all the time in Guatemala and the effects of that physical poverty on the children. It's very devastating to see them suffering and living in very blank homes. There we go. In homes that are really inadequate for where they're living, suffering from malnutrition and also, the lack of education. My background is education, and so this is what we thought we could come and contribute, leading them to Christ through a discipleship and evangelism program in our schools, and meeting some of the needs, some of the physical needs of these kids. And there's a lot of witchcraft in our area, and there's a spiritual darkness that is at the root of every human problem. And I think this is something that really I didn't capture while I lived here in Canada. And I thought a lot of problems are just caused by bad decisions. No, bad decisions are provoked by wrong thinking, and wrong thinking is provoked by spirits that want to draw our attention off of Christ. And so every bad thing in this earth is a result of the work of the enemy. And every good thing is a blessing from God. And so we see what's happening in Guatemala as a direct result of many, many spiritual forces working against the people there. And they're suffering, and here they're making sacrifices to this idol. And if you come to Tactique, I'd be happy to just take you to this place and spend some time praying there and just feeling the presence of the Spirit, experiencing the power of His Spirit, God's Spirit, coming and pushing the darkness away. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. It's not something to fear. It's a beautiful thing to watch. So we've come into the country. We've been there for a few years, 18 years now, and this is what we're wanting to do, is teach biblical principles so that people can come out of that darkness. So very quickly, what's happening here? There we go. Schools. We're starting schools. And this is one of our newest schools. And we have... next slide here. Paige, thank you. These are some of our students dressed in some of the original Mayan clothing. And here we have 10 schools in operation altogether with 1,500 students attending those schools. And yeah, that is a blessing. That is a huge blessing. And these are our staff that were former students in our school. Okay, so they came through our school as little kids, grew up, got their teaching certificates, and they are now, that group are all former students who are teaching in our school, but the whole group of teachers is right there. That's 110 people, and we say they're not just teachers. They are pastors of these little groups of 25 kids, and they visit their families, and the kids, together with the teachers, are leading parents to the Lord, and it's an amazing thing to watch. We start every day with a time of worship in each of our schools, and this is what really breaks the bondages. The spiritual bondages are broken as these kids are focused on the Lord and start absorbing His truth and believing His truth. And when we believe the truth and we start acting on it, things start to change. And so 20 minutes every day are spent in worship, and you will hear, if you come on Wednesday night, you're going to hear firsthand what is going on, what is behind these kids that are weeping while they're worshiping. What the loads that they're carrying, the abuse that they're experiencing, and how the Lord can redeem them from that. We don't have enough manpower to do that, but the Lord wants to do that. And I want to say thank you to this church. You're supporting our ministry on a monthly basis, and you're enabling us to through our staff, to bring these 1,500 young people into the presence of God every morning for 40 minutes. Absolutely amazing thing to watch. Beautiful thing to watch. And so if you have a bad day, you just go to the morning devotional, and in childlike faith, they're just reaching out to God. We serve 1,500 children plus the staff, so that means we're providing 8,000 meals per week. And for many of the children, this is the only meal that they get to eat. Of course, academics are a big piece of what we do. We're training leaders, and leaders need to be equipped. And my definition of education has changed since I've gone to Guatemala. What education is, really, really what it is introducing people to the purposes of God, the ideas that God had for that child while He was knitting them together in their mother's womb, and then giving them the tools so they can accomplish that purpose. So without Christ, what are you getting? You're getting academics. You're getting academics, and your academics will give you perhaps a better job, will give you more income. You can buy more things, but now we're on the wrong track. And so we're saying we don't need to lead these young people on an incorrect path. We need to introduce them to Christ so that they would discover the purpose that God has for them and pursue that with their whole heart. And when they do that, God takes care of everything else. And this is what we're seeing. I tell short-term missions teams that come down, I say, you know, we never want to become a humanitarian organization. Humanitarian organizations do a lot of good things. I mean, there's a lot of malnutrition in Guatemala. There's a lot of healthcare issues. There's a lot of abuse. Humanitarian organizations do a lot of good things. But we don't want to just help them raise their standard of living. It's the wrong way to think. And me as a North American, many times I have thought that way when I see people who are living in impoverished situations. But it's the wrong way to think. Because we don't want to just turn them into other Canadians or other North Americans. And so what I tell our short-term missions teams that come, I say, you know, if we get on this wrong path, this wrong worldview, this wrong thinking that is often missing the mark that Christ actually came to share with us and to lead us into and give us freedom to walk in instead of the bondages of this world. If we step into this, all of a sudden we're free and we're full and we're satisfied. But if we step away from it and we're drawn by all the things around us or by the things that allure us, the enemy wants to allure us with many, many things. Basically, his whole idea is this. Satan's idea is this. Just get people to take their eyes off of Jesus. It doesn't matter what they put it on. Just get their eyes off of Jesus and off of his truth. And the moment our eyes are off, then we start struggling. And so I tell the short-term missions teams, we have them only for about 10 days. So I feel like many times I only have a few hours to talk to them, so I give them both barrels. And I just say, you know what? This wrong thinking that we have often lived in North America, you know, we have this illusion that it leads to happiness. But it doesn't. Why is it that we here in North America have the highest consumption rates of antidepressants in the world? Now, there's all kinds of physiological reasons that these medications are good. And so I'm not speaking about the medication for the right reasons of taking them. But when it's an epidemic in our society, something's wrong. And so we lead them to Christ. And all of a sudden, he begins providing them, even in the way of nutrition and healthcare, all kinds of things. And so this is academics, our young people here. Sorry, Paige, keep going here. Lots of neat things happen. They're wearing uniforms that have been provided by their sponsors. This is our health medical clinic. About 8,000 people are served in our medical clinic. Those medicines that you see there in the foreground, a $500 donation through a ministry that works here in Canada will purchase us between $5,000 to $7,000 of medication. Isn't that amazing? So our medical clinic is better equipped than the national hospital in our area. And so we're serving dental work. And here, this is to just put here to whet your appetite. We would love for you to come on a short-term missions trip. And Gateway has done a whole bunch of marvelous things. I think, Larry and Val, you were there when we handed out the bikes, weren't you? When the bicycles were purchased for all these young leaders. I have no mode of transportation. And your church purchased a whole pack of bicycles. Your church has done some amazing things. And we would like you to come and see the results. This is where you'll have to stay. You'll really suffer while you're there. This was a gift from a gentleman in Alberta. And he was really touched by the Lord while he was there. And he said, I never thought I'd make it on a missions trip. I thought I was too old, and I was a little afraid of the facilities, what they might be. He said, I want to take that fear away, so you get the benefit of his previous fear, and this is where you get to stay. This is the most exciting thing recently is there are 270,000 orphans in Guatemala. That's not very exciting, according to UNICEF. But the new church that is emerging in Tactique was reading through the book of James. We are reading through the New Testament, every year. And they got to the book of James and they were saying, you know, it says here to take care of widows and orphans. And we're doing things for the widows, but we're not doing anything for orphans. So a committee formed and this orphanage was built, and this is for abandoned babies 0 to 4 months, and we're in the paperwork right now, and the couple that you see standing in front of them, front of it here, they are our new people who are living in the home, going to provide leadership for all the staff, and Hector is here in Canada with me. Hector, wave. There he is, right back there. Si puede saludar, solo, bueno, there he is. Yeah. I have to remember to talk to him in English, in Spanish. And he's come with me, and he will be sharing on Wednesday night. But he and his wife are in the home already, and we're going to be receiving abandoned babies in this place. And so that's happening in the near future. Here's the amazing thing. Okay, if somebody would have told me we were going to be planting churches while we were in Guatemala, I would have said, I think you're wrong. I'm not a church planter. Well, I'm not a church planter. I just, I don't know what I am. But if I would have known we were planting churches, I would have probably pulled a Jonah and gone the other way. I'm sorry. Pastoring, I just really take my hat off to pastors because pastors get a lot of flack a lot of the time. And I just thought, I just don't want to ever be put in that position. But here's what happened. The kids started leading their parents to Christ. And the Lord snuck up on us and started a church without us planning it. And about 90% of the people in our congregations have been won to the Lord by their kids. That was unexpected. And this building that you see here was not built with Canadian dollars. It was built, they said, if we're going to build a church, we want to build it with our own funds. And so some single moms who are earning like $4 a day have given tithes to make this thing happen. And so we have three churches now that have been developed. And we've had, every 6 weeks, we all three congregations gather together. Hector is the pastor of these churches. And here's my favorite photo. This was taken a couple of years ago. There is Hector praying for some of our leaders and some of the people who have responded to the altar call. And he's taken leadership, and as soon as he stepped to the leadership, the church started growing even faster. And God is at work because people have huge needs, and they recognize they have huge needs, and they're turning to Christ. And when people who have huge needs turn to Christ, the miraculous begins to happen. And here we are, we're brothers and sisters. If you're visiting here, if this is your first time here, come back next Sunday. You'll get some decent preaching then, okay? I'm just a guest here, and I would like to just share, first of all, to say thank you. Everything that you saw there is a result of a whole group of people coming together and everybody doing their part. And Gateway has been a part of that. And we're so grateful. In Guatemala, we have this saying. Everybody is always building there, and it's all with masonry and cement construction. And so you always have to get a pile of sand to the site, which is not easy. You sometimes have to carry it. So if you come on a work team, you might end up carrying sand up a hill someplace in sacks. But when you finally get the whole pile of sand, the saying is everybody brings their grain and puts it onto the pile. And you have brought a grain, more than one, and put it on the pile, and the Lord is doing amazing things, and it's for His glory. And so we invite you to just come and enjoy some of the beautiful things that God is doing. Now, this morning, I've taken too much time talking about the ministry. I want to share just a principle from God's Word, okay? And I've got more in my heart than time allows, so that's why I'm talking so fast. I'd like to read from the book of Ezekiel. And the Lord spoke to me in this through this passage. Some of you have actually heard me preach this passage before, because about 20 years ago, the Lord used this passage in a powerful way in my life. And every time I go back to this passage, new things come out of it. And I want to just take about 10 minutes to go to this passage together with you. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to cause the right things to come out of it for you. Okay, it's not important that you listen to me this morning. You don't need to hear stories. You don't need to see pictures. What we need is a whisper from God's Spirit. That's what we need. One word from Him and everything changes. A touch of His garment, His cloak, where we feel the reality of what is going on here in the spiritual realm, and everything changes. I am not capable of doing that for you, but the Holy Spirit is. So we're going to pray really quick, and then we're going to read this passage, and we're going to ask for God to divinely do something this morning that is impossible for me to do. It's impossible for you to conjure up. But God, by His Spirit, wants to come and do that in every one of us this morning. Amen? Do you want that? Okay, now if we were in Guatemala, I'd say, do you want that?
Yes!
Okay. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are going to just take a minute to just dwell on some truths from your word. And God, we don't want just our heads filled with more understanding and words and stories. We need you. And Lord, every one of us has needs this morning. We walk in a world that's fallen, and consequently that fallenness has emerged from within us and ruined some things. But we've also experienced the wounding of other people who are fallen and broken relationships and things gone sideways. And only you can address all these things. So we ask, as we read your word this morning, by your Spirit, you would come in and awaken hope within us, a hope that only comes from you, Jesus, and that you, by your Spirit, would speak truth into our hearts. Amen. I'm going to read from Ezekiel 47. Okay, now this is kind of weird because this is a vision that Ezekiel got, and he understood because he was standing there on the Temple Mount. If you've never been there, you really should go. This is what it says. The man, so he was having this vision of this man, God's messenger, God. The man brought me back to the, so we're reading from Ezekiel 47. Okay, so if you have your Bibles or your phones or whatever you got. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold. Kind of a weird thing. Water seeping out from under the door of the temple toward the east. That's significant, but we won't go into that now, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple. So now it flowed out of the temple and under the walls south of the altar. Then he brought me around to the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. Okay, now what that all means, we'll just leave that for now, but it says, as the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. So here's the picture. Water is coming out from under the temple, out from the altar. The altar represents the presence of God. The altar represents the power of God. The altar represents sustenance, life, our connection with Him, forgiveness. It represents all these beautiful, beautiful things. And now this water is flowing out of the temple. So it's coming from God. Water is life, the picture of life. It's flowing. And the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand. And he measured off 1,000 cubits. That's about 0.5 kilometer. So he's going eastward. And just east of the temple is this valley. So he's going into the valley downhill. So he's going downhill. And he measured off 1,000 cubits, 0.5 kilometer, and he led me through the water that was ankle deep. Okay, all of us have walked in water that's ankle deep, and we know what that's like. And so he led me through the water that was ankle deep. Then he measured off another 1,000 cubits, another 0.5 kilometer, and led me through the water that was now knee deep. Okay, we're getting the picture. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was up to the waist. All right, so now we're walking in water up to the waist. Now, if it's water that's standing still, that's one thing. But if it's water that's moving up to the waist, have you walked through swift-moving water? I've walked through swift-moving water up to my knees thinking, I might wipe out here any second. Okay, now the water's moving, and it's up to our waist, and this is the picture that we get from this vision. Now, visions are interesting because visions can speak to us in 1,000 different ways, and I don't want you to read something incorrect into it, but there's something beautiful about this image. So he led me through the water that was up to my waist. He measured off another 1,000, and now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. This is the impossible, okay? No one could cross it. And we're going further into this river. Now he measured it off until it was so deep that you couldn't touch bottom. Now, I remember, this is about 20 years ago, I was preaching from this passage in Guatemala. I was on a short-term missions trip, and I was preaching this passage to all these Guatemalan people, and I felt like I had a message from God for them. And here was the message. I'm going to give you the message in a nutshell here. Here is the message. You can be in the river up to your ankles, but you're in control. So the river's flowing this way. You're in up to your ankles. You can say, I'm in the river. Okay, I know God. I've experienced Christianity. I'm in. I'm not out. I'm in. And there's the river flowing. Who controls where you're going? The river doesn't control where you're going. You control where you're going. So this is my message, okay? I thought this was a really cool idea. I thought this is an idea I got from God. This is so cool. I was sharing it with all the Guatemalan people. I said, you can even walk in up to your knees and say, I'm deeper than you are. Look at me. I'm in up to my knees. I'm really in the river. You can even walk in up to your waist and say, wow, I'm really in the river. But what is it that God wants to do with us? He doesn't want us just to stand in the river. He wants us to be led by His Spirit. Scripture says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They obey me. So that's the piece that was often left undone in my spiritual walk. Lots of knowledge here, but that obedience, that stepping forward. And so I was on a roll, and I could feel the presence of God in that place. I could feel the anointing of God's Spirit. I started saying things that I hadn't even thought up. And I thought, whoa, this is just amazing. And I remember going to the edge of the platform, and I was standing there. Oh, I have to tell you this part first. I'm running out of time. I've got to tell you this part fast. Here's the deal. Here's the background, what was going on inside of my heart at that time prior to this. I was here in Kamloops. I loved being in the Christian school. I loved it. It was a place of ministry. And when kids got in trouble, you know what? I liked it when kids got into trouble because they'd come into my office and I'd have this one-on-one time with them. And we'd really get to the heart of issues that were going on, and especially if they were in trouble and I had to correct them and they were acknowledging their situation. I remember one young man, I won't say names here because some of you might know who he is. He might even be here. I don't know. But I remember one young man, all of a sudden he'd be in my office and sitting there, and I'd say, who sent you here? And he says, nobody sent me, I just came. I knew I was going to need to be here. And we sat down, he says, oh. And he would just tell me the story straight. Some people would kind of embellish their stories to try and make themselves look innocent, and that was a little bit more difficult. But this guy, he just came and he just said, this is what I did. This guy said this, I got mad, and I punched him, and then I punched again, and I missed him, and I hit the wall, and okay, I'll pay for it. Yeah, I'm in trouble, I know. Call my dad, go ahead. And I love this guy. I just love this guy because I looked at him and I thought, you know what? That's how I am with God oftentimes. I mess up and I just go park myself in His presence and He says, okay, we got some fixing to do here. And God says, okay, we can fix this. This is not hopeless. We can turn this around. And I love that. I love being in the Christian school. I love the fact that I got paid for doing what I enjoyed. That was pretty cool. Most of the students liked me. I think most of the students liked me, at least they put on. And I think most of the parents liked me too. So this was a good place. And we bought our dream home up in Barnard Vale, and we were set. And then God started speaking to us about going to Guatemala. And, oh, what does that mean? That means leaving all of this, and I won't get a check at the end of the month. What will happen with that? And leaving the things I love and everything that was secure and certain, I have to sell our dream home. I mean, it wasn't much of a home, but it was what we were dreaming of. I'm from the prairies. This was a house up on the mountains with a view. I have to sell that? And I said, okay, God, we'll do this. We'll do this. So here's what I said out to God. I said, what we need is we need enough income so that we can survive every month, and we'd like enough income so we can build the first school that we're going to build. We knew we were going to build a school. One of our board members made a donation of $25 a month, and it stopped right there. And we were waiting and waiting and thinking, God, I think you sent us. I think you're calling us. I think you're calling us, but where's the resources? So my wife and I, we were praying and we were talking about it, and over a series of months, nobody else, we were writing letters, we were talking to people, nothing else happened. Finally, we said, you know what, maybe it's a little unrealistic to think that somebody's going to help us build a school. We don't even know where we're going to build it. So let's take that off the list. Okay, so we need our monthly income. And we waited waited, sent letters, spoke in churches. Nothing happened. We said, well, maybe it's a little unrealistic. Now it was getting tense. Now, maybe it's a little unrealistic to think that people will support us to go there with our what we consider would be a salary we could live on. Maybe we should just get monthly commitments for half, and then we should resign at the Christian school. Oh, this was getting a little tense. Okay, roll the clock ahead, and I'm preaching this sermon. I'm preaching this sermon saying, and all of a sudden I was saying, and some of us here today, I remember having my toes over the foot of the platform. Some of us here today, we're just standing right on the edge, and we know if we take one more step, it's out of our control. But we're saying, God, you have to put everything in place before I take this step. I want to know that you're going to take me to a safe place down there. And some of us here today are saying, God, I need to see the future. I need to understand it. I need to have confidence that everything is going to be fine before I take this next step. And I'm no longer waist deep. What happens when you're no longer waist deep? The river takes you where it wants. You are no longer in control. Brothers and sisters, can I suggest to you that's what being Spirit-filled and living the Spirit-filled life is? That's what it is. Because as long as my feet are touching the bottom, I am still in control. I can walk against the flow of water. Okay, none of us would say that. We're doing that. But I can do that if my feet are still touching the bottom. And so I was preaching this sermon, and I was saying, God is asking you to take away all your prerequisites, like all your conditions. Just follow him. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, Les, this message is for you. And all of a sudden, it all clicked. It was such an anointed sermon. Oh, man, it was good. But it was for me. And I was speechless. I stood there. And this whole congregation, they're all looking at me. They're Latin American people. They're so wonderful. They're all looking there, waiting politely for me to carry on. And I said, you know what I just realized? I have all these conditions for God. And if we wait for God to fulfill the conditions, many times he won't. Because what is faith? What is faith? Faith means you hear God and you step out regardless of the results are his. It's knowing that out of love, he will direct you and he will help you and he will take you to where he wants you to go. He will care for you. My financial needs, he will care for them. Can you tell I have not been without food in Guatemala? He has taken, we have always had food on the table. So I was preaching the sermon and I stood there and I said, I'm sorry. I was going to have an altar call this morning, but I just realized this sermon is for me. So I'm having an altar call and I'm going down. I'm going to be the person at the altar call. Would somebody come and pray with me? Because I'm going down to my own altar call. And that morning I walked down. I knew I had to come back here and say, Lord, I take away all the conditions. I take them all away. I give them to you. I will obey you. And we're going to follow you. And it's a little scary. But God, you're my Father. You're my Father. And you don't want to hurt me. In fact, the imagery of this passage is so beautiful because it talks about what happens around the river further downstream. There's fruitfulness. There's all kinds of... Read the passage, 47. Ask God to speak to you. Ask Ezekiel 47. Ask God to speak to you. All of us long for a fruitful life that has some value, something meaningful. And that's what this passage goes on to talk about, this river. All kinds of life starts flowing out of it. It flows into the Dead Sea, but it says the sea starts coming alive. It's beautiful imagery. Isn't that what we all want with our lives? Isn't that what we want with our lives? But it doesn't happen until we take that next step. That's what God is calling us to do. Now, I wish I could say that that was the one time God called me to do that. But you know what? The Spirit-filled life means we need to do that daily. And you know, when God rescues us a few times, we were held up. Maybe I shouldn't say this because then you might not come on a short-term missions team. We were held up at gunpoint, and we were carjacked one time. And, you know, that I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. Now, I don't want it again. I don't want it to happen to us again. But I wouldn't trade that experience for anything, because when we came through the other side of that, it was like God just affirmed inside of me saying, I protected you through that, right? Like you're all good. Your van's gone. Your passports are all gone. You know, my favorite jacket. They took my favorite jacket. They took it all. They just left us on the side of the road. They were arguing about whether... No, I shouldn't say this. We're in good care. If you come on our short-term missions, we're safe, okay? We're safe, okay? We're all good. But they were arguing about what they should do with us. That was not a good sign. They said, hands up, hands up. And so we put our hands up, and my wife put her hands up, and she had her eyes closed, and she was praying in tongues. She was just praying in tongues. I said, shh. They might get upset. And so I put up my hands and I was waving, thinking maybe somebody will see we have our hands up and we'll stop. And then they said, hands down. Okay. And my wife was praying. And there was a peace that came into that vehicle. And when it was all over, it was surreal. And then God spoke to me and said, see, I took you through that and you're okay. I will take you through everything that you need to go through, and you'll be okay. You're going to be okay. Isn't that a good thing to hear from God? Isn't that a good thing? Now, I wouldn't have heard that if that incident hadn't happened. That happened because we stepped where we were no longer in control. So what is it that God is speaking to you about? This morning, it's not important for you to hear the stories about Guatemala. Tanil, if you don't mind just going to the keyboard for just a moment. I know I've taken my time here this morning. But it's kind of interesting to hear a story of a carjacking and some of these other things. And it's beautiful to see the hand of the Lord working among the Guatemalan people. People coming to the Lord. They're coming to the Lord so fast. Our problem is not leading people to the Lord. Our problem is how do we disciple the ones that come? Isn't that a great problem to have? And I'm so grateful to have a hand in it and to be a part of it. But these stories are encouraging, but that's not what we need. We need encouragement so that we hear the voice of God and we step forward in obedience. And that every day we wake up and we say, Lord, today I want to hear your voice. And I want to radically do what you ask me to do, even if it makes no sense. I mean, what would Abraham have done if he made a list of positives and negatives of offering his son? Okay, I'm going to make a list, and then I'm going to decide from that list. Here's all the negatives if I kill my son. Here's all the positives. There's no positives. Okay, but sometimes we function in human mode, and we make these lists and say, I'm going to decide according to these lists instead of hearing the voice of God. And if we hear the voice of God and he asks us to do something that seems ridiculous, or he asks us to go and speak to a coworker and they seem angry or upset, you say, boy, if I go and talk to them and say, I noticed you're angry, you know, is there something I can do for you? That's a risk. That's a risk. But when God whispers that to our hearts, we want to be people who say yes, and then miraculous things begin to happen. Amen? That's what we want as a church. Can I ask you to stand? Brothers and sisters, from whatever country, from whatever culture, from whatever background, from whatever luggage you have in your life, it doesn't matter the luggage that you have in your life. This is what God invites us to through Jesus Christ. We sang the songs about his crucifixion and his victory. We need more than just words. Lord, I need to live in that victory today. I cannot live on yesterday's victory. Yesterday's manna is sour today. I need to live in that victory these next hours.